Morning. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Today we're going to do a new song. This song is called Not Done Yet, and I really love it. It's a powerful song, and it talks about how God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or think or imagine, which is taken from the scripture, Ephesians 3:20. So it's just super encouraging. Let's sing it together. God of the promise, God of the future, you see beginning and end. God of the rescue, God of the breakthrough, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Still ahead, you're not done yet.
around these walls, I thought by now know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still.
God, we're thankful that you are the still point, the anchor in our turning, changing, even chaotic world. We know that your will is the ultimate will. We know that whatever happens here on earth will be directed by what happens in heaven, directed by you, commanded, guided, for you want the very best for us. And once again this week, Lord, we're thankful that you're not a far-off God, an uncaring God, but just the opposite. You're a very loving God, and you're up close and personal to us. And as we have reached out to you, we're thankful for the peace that you've given us in the midst of all that is happening. We're thankful that you're still empowering us to be a part of your team, expanding and enriching your kingdom, because it is your kingdom that will come. And as you equip us and send us out in the meantime, empower us, direct us. As we come to worship today, there's many different concerns that we have, and we want to place those at the foot of the cross today. Concerns about the world, concerns about our country having unity and harmony, about this this wave of COVID-19 that's affecting the whole world, affecting our state and our county. I want to pray for those who are ill. Pray for those, healing for those that have come out of surgery, as well as a prayer of guidance and intervention as people go to surgery in this next week. Jesus, you allow us to see things from your perspective, from a divine, eternal perspective. And that does make a great difference in how we live out each and every day. We do want to be your faithful disciples. We want to be your deep disciples. As we come around your word today, just give us your Holy Spirit that we would not only hear your word, but we would take your word in so that it makes a difference, that you might equip us, you might transform us today through all that takes place. As we lift you up in worship today, lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. I'm not sure that you could tell, but we're actually on voluntary lockdown quarantine as a church. The opening set was the video from a few weeks ago. We have several people on our larger team that have tested positive for COVID-19. We have congregational members who have tested positive. And so we felt the best and safest way to move forward for the next 2 weeks is to come to you by live stream today and piece together a whole worship service for you. I hope you enjoyed that music. I know I did. In fact, the lead worship director in that video is Christy Godwin. We have been doing a national search for a new worship arts and music director. We've been working together as a search team for over 4 months. We have looked from one end of the country to the other end of the country, and out of all the candidates, the unanimous vote was to have Christy Godwin be our new director of worship, music, and arts. So I'd invite you to encourage her, send her a note or an email. She doesn't start full-time with us until the middle of January, but she's already, as you saw this morning, leading worship here at 9 and 11 and giving direction to that whole committee and area of ministry. Here's a few more announcements. We have a group called PAL. It's Parents of Addicted Loved Ones. It meets on our campus each week on Wednesday evenings. The curriculum that is used is a very biblically based curriculum, and finding support in that challenge of life is, again, very much an important part of that gathering. If you want to know more about that, check our website. Or call the church office. We will be in the church office by the phone, by the computer for the next 2 weeks as we step back a little bit and self-quarantine. We are looking for people to hand out food baskets through the food bank this coming Friday the 16th. We need 16 people, 2-hour shifts. If you would like to be a part of that, please contact the church office. We could also use a few more hands on deck as we decorate our whole church building for Christmas. There's a decorating party gathering. That will be Tuesday, November 24th, and it will be at 9:30 a.m. Those are the announcements. I'm glad that you're online with us today. I want to say hey to my in-laws, Ruby and Wayne Hathaway. It's great that you can see me today. I look forward to seeing you sometime soon. Our scripture passage this morning is being read by our youth pastor, Keith Sandell.
Hey, Schoon Community Church. This is Keith Sandell, the youth director, and we're going to be sharing a scripture passage from Mark chapter 6. It goes like this. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So the disciples said to Jesus, "This is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to a surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread for them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So he sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is God's word. I hope you're blessed by it. We'll see y'all later.
Deep spiritual effort. God does have a plan for our life. It is custom made for each one of us. It's a road, a path in life that points us, I believe, to the journey of faith, the adventure of faith. The deeper times become, the deeper we need to gather in our faith, express our faith, live out our faith. And when it comes to effort, spiritual effort, we often do very well. We're pretty deep when we have deep resources. The question is how deep are we when we have very limited resources? Limited time, talent, treasure, and touch. What do we do in those limited times? I believe we go on a quest for deeper faith, a broader faith, a higher faith. We do that because Jesus is good at doing great things, even miraculous things, with our little. Only having a little, but being faithful, well, it makes all the difference in the world. Faith, we've got to have a deep spiritual effort, a faithful effort, especially in those times when we feel as though we're the have-nots instead of those that have it. The writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And we want to have faith. We want to have deep faith. Along with that deep faith, we have to step out in having a very deep effort, even when our step is short. The direction long term is unseen. What do we do when we only have a little? God is great at doing something with a little in our life. In fact, as we look at what is happening right now in our life, in our state, country, and world, we can even bring to God not only our little, but we can bring Him the unsolved problems in our life. The places in our life where we're anxious and stressed and worried, thinking that there is not a better tomorrow up ahead. Yet we know as Christians the best in life is up ahead. How do I know that? Because eternity is up ahead. So what do we do in terms of a deep spiritual effort? How do we bring to God what we have and allow Him to respond to our needs, to the needs of those around us? I think the first and most important step is that we're willing to admit to God that we don't have enough, that we don't have in abundance what we need, that in fact we have very little, that we, in only having a little, are facing a problem that right now it's unsolved. We don't know how to solve that problem, how to find an answer, a direction, healing. A deep spiritual effort starts with admitting that we don't have enough. That really is the tone of the feeding of the 5,000. Oh, in the end, Jesus makes sure that there's enough, but in the beginning, there are more people and, well, no food. Can't just call up Grubhub and ask them to deliver some food to you. What will the disciples do? What will the people do? What does Jesus do? Let's begin to look at the story. When Jesus saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them. Now notice Jesus' compassion over against the response of the disciples. By this time it was late in the day, so His disciples came and said to Jesus, "This is a very remote place. Send the people away so that they can go and buy something to eat." Now that's an answer, but that's not a deep spiritual effort, a deep spiritual response. But Jesus answered because He had compassion, "You give them something to eat." They said, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages." What are they to do? What are the disciples to do? What are the people to do? And what will Jesus do? What we see in the disciples is a very cautious, response about what to do. It is getting late in the day. Everybody's getting hungry. And so the disciples have a very, well, unspiritual effort that comes to their mind. Hey, let's not worry about them. Let's just send them away, tell them to go get some food, and when they have eaten at home or eaten at someone else's house along the way, then they can come back and we can teach some more. Anyway, it's getting late. Perhaps that's the best solution to the problem that we face. Now, Jesus looks at the disciples and says, you know, that's not really a very good response. That's not a compassionate response to these people. In fact, what that is that's a convenient response, but it's not a deep spiritual effort. It's not an effort that steps out on the reality that Jesus is a part of the formula of this situation in life. They can't even really admit to Jesus that they don't have enough. That we may be facing, the disciples think, a solution. There is no solution. This is an unsolvable problem. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough time. And we got a lot of people out here. What will happen if they get really hungry and they get a little cranky along the way? That might even mean that our own lives are in danger. Jesus looks at them and says, "You feed them. You feed them. You be the answer to this predicament, this unsolved reality." Now, I think the disciples are always very normal human people with extraordinary faith, by the way. But here they're very, very human, very ordinary. In fact, when we don't have enough and we face a challenging relationship or circumstance or setting in life, how do we respond? Well, we might respond the same way as the disciples. You know, that's not my problem, that's their problem, and they need to go take care of their problem. In fact, what we see in this story is that when we don't have enough, have you noticed you procrastinate? You put off ever having to face that reality or solve, bring a solution to that unsolved problem. The disciples are that way. They had in front of them over 5,000 people all day long. And earlier, someone could have thought, hey, what are we going to do about serving dinner to everyone here? But because they knew they didn't have an answer, they didn't have a solution, they didn't have enough. What they did is procrastinated all day long. And now it's starting to get, the sun's going down, it's starting to get dark, and now they're very concerned. And really what Jesus is saying to them is, see, you put this off all day, now you want to solve it? Then you guys go ahead and solve it. You give them food. The second thing we do is we have a tendency to blame circumstances or blame other people when we don't have enough. Well, they're the reason that I don't have what I need. The only reason I have a little in life is because of them. If they were to do what they're supposed to do, then I'd have all that I need. My problems would be solved. But when we have a problem, we look for someone else, something else to blame. And blame simply is be-lame. When we blame other people, we're just being lame. We're being short-sighted. We're not stepping out in faith in those moments because we're blaming other people, other things. And as Jesus carries on this conversation with the disciples, they want to say, hey, you know, this isn't our fault, Jesus, that all these people showed up to listen to you preach. And now we have a problem, and well, didn't you make that problem because you didn't send them home earlier? Jesus says, no, you feed them. Stop procrastinating. Stop being lame, blaming other people. And stop worrying. Can you tell that the disciples are a little uptight? They're even starting to worry about perhaps maybe their own safety, that what happens if all of these people turn on us because we didn't think ahead about ordering box lunches or having pizza delivered. Stressed, worried. Don't you get that way when you only have a little? And what is needed in life is a lot more than we have? We move from worry and stress to depression, a sense of giving up instead of leaning in life. And how human the disciples are. They procrastinate, they blame others. They choose to worry and be upset than to look for resources. And Jesus always brings the resources that are needed. God is always a part of that equation. He looks to them and he says, you feed them. And again, right away, what did the disciples say? Well, it would take 8 months' wages to feed all these people. What are we to do? How are we to do that, Jesus? And step two, as we want to have a deep spiritual response and effort to the challenging relationships and circumstances in life where we feel that we only have a little. Once we admit that to God, now we want to give God all that we do have. And it's amazing how God will receive a little from us. That God now knows how to work when we're limited in our time, talent, treasure, and touch. Sometimes our human response, because we're a little ashamed, we only have a little, is to not give the little that we have to God. We hold it back, we hide it. We even hide ourselves from God because somehow we feel as though we ought to have it all together. We ought to have an abundance given who we are, our education, the jobs that we held, etc. And just because we're highly educated, even highly successful in our business, even though we still have moments in our life where we feel as though we don't have enough, that life right now is demanding a greater effort than we have. And it does make us feel a little ashamed. Don't let the fact that you have a little get in the way of God doing something even miraculous in your life. Let's go back to the story. Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And so they take off and they start scouring around to see who has some food. And maybe enough people brought food with them that now we'll be able to turn that into little bits to give everyone. We could turn a few dinners into just hors d'oeuvres for everyone. When they found out, they said, we have 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Wow. 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's not enough for over 5,000 people. They only counted the men that were there. So you can assume that there were some women there as well, along with some children. In fact, it's most likely that the 5 loaves and 2 fishes came from a little boy whose mom thought ahead and packed him a lunch so that he would have something to eat. Here's what we read in John 6:6. Jesus asked this only to test them, the disciples, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So John picks up on the fact that the reason Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you guys go ahead and feed them, was to see if they would be faithful enough. In fact, the crazy thing that's going on right now is they're talking to Jesus and they're forgetting who he is
and what he's able to do, the miraculous things he's able to do. Isn't it interesting in crisis how we get very centered focus? We start getting wrapped up in the limits that we have as a person, and that keeps us from reaching out, from admitting, and then wanting to put to use the little that we have to see if God can do something with that. And God does. God does something great with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, doesn't he? Let's go back to our passage. Actually, let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Jesus is testing the disciples' faith. I think the lacking in life, the challenge in life, causes us to reflect upon our faith. Whether we truly believe Jesus or not, are we willing to take Jesus at his word? Has he given us all these promises in the Bible? And is he unwilling or unable to make them come true in our life? Moving ahead in life, a deep spiritual effort really is all about our faith in Jesus. Jesus is challenged. He says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, now we're in Matthew 17, verse 20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and I will remove it. I will move it. Nothing will be impossible for you because of me, Jesus says. And notice what he says. It only takes a little bit of faith. And I think we always have a little in life. It's not an issue that we have none. It just means that we don't have enough that we can see from our human perspective a solution to our unsolvable problem, our need, our challenge. And it is about having faith. Here, Jesus says that if you have enough faith, you can tell that mountain to move and I will move it. Well, mountains in this passage represent our worries and our cares and our concerns, our brokenheartedness, our addictive behaviors, our worry about our health or our job, or the bottom line of our financial resources. And that worries us. It stresses us out. And we often think in those moments, well, if I just had a bigger faith. Well, it's not necessarily about a bigger faith. It's just about having faith. About exercising that faith. About stepping forward in life with the deepest spiritual effort and response that we can muster up in a moment. And it's true, sometimes our faith is very small. God does not belittle us for that. Just the opposite, as we place the little that we have in his hands, it's amazing what he does. And this is the fourth element of the story, of this encounter of Jesus and the disciples and over 5,000 people and not enough food. In those circumstances in life, we're called to take what we have and place it in Jesus' hands. And once we've done that, we've put all that we have in the hands of God. And by faith, we ask him to bring us what we need. Right? Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew, if you seek my kingdom priorities first, then all the things that you need will be added unto you. And that guaranteed is sealed with heaven, with eternity. If not in this life, everything turning out to the good, when we get to heaven, it's all good. There's no bad. Where we fight and struggle with sin out there and inside of each one of us, that will not be the case when we get to heaven. Because when the King is amongst his people, when the Lord, the Savior, is amongst his people, then there'll be no more anxiety and stress, no more tears, no more pain. Only the glory of God. We have to take the little that we have, and it is the right place for us to place the little that we have. We place it in the hands of Jesus to see what he can do. And we know that he does something miraculous with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He blessed the food, broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. The miracle is that Jesus breaks the bread and then there's more bread. He divides up the fish and there's more fish. And as the disciples keep coming and going, there's more for them to take. More happens than they're able to make happen. The miraculous that happens is something that Jesus does. It's part of who he is as the Savior and Lord of our world and our life. He blessed them, notice that. He acknowledges that all that he has right there is from the Father. And it is in the blessing that he is able to do that miracle, looking to God to be the solution, more so than just the loaves and the bread. As we take the little that we have, admitting to God that we don't have enough, and we take that little and we place it in Jesus' hands, what we need to do is expect God to act. That's what faith does. Faith has, as a part of its definition, an expectation that God will do what only God can do. God will help us do all that we can do. That when we're in need, when we face what seems to be an unsolvable problem, it's God who says, no, I've already solved all of those problems. Just look ahead. Jesus was the solution for all of humanity to connect with God and spend eternity with God. And here he is, the miraculous Jesus, doing something very common, giving people something to eat. But in that, it's more than miraculous. In fact, these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it feeds everyone, and God multiplied it. There was some left over. Verse 42 and 43 of Mark 6. Everyone ate and had enough. Afterwards, they collected 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full of leftovers. And isn't that just the way God is? We come to him and say, we only have a little, Jesus. And we place that little into Jesus' hands, and he does more than we could ever expect. He meets the needs, and then he goes beyond the needs. Hasn't he done that for you in your life? You've asked for one specific thing, and God does answer that very specific thing, but he also does more than that. He takes our time, talent, treasure, and touch in limited quantity. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he multiplies that into more than we could ever imagine or think. God wants us to always be in tune with him. He wants us to understand that when we're in relationship with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for Jesus, and nothing is impossible for us when Jesus is the one we're relying on. That Jesus is the one that we're trusting, that we're having faith in. God is the owner of every good thing in this world. And he's very faithful to us in giving us all that we need. An abundance more than we need so that we might bless other people as we are blessed. We are at a point in life where we feel as though we have a little. God wants to remind us that, well, our lives plus Jesus equals a positive outcome. Even more than that, an abundant outcome, an eternal outcome. And so when we have a need, we need to lean in. We need to admit to God, we've got a problem, we have a need, and we don't know what to do. We don't know which direction to head in. Jesus says, just bring me what you have. Place it in my hands and see what I can do with this relationship. This bad report from the doctor. This loss of your job. Dwindling bank account. God is good at meeting our needs as we rely upon him. And so in this challenging time, even in this self-imposed lockdown for the next several weeks, I hope that you will continue to have faith in Jesus. And whatever it is that is a resource you could use, even if you only have a little, don't be embarrassed in front of Jesus. Just the opposite. Place the little you have in Jesus' hands. Pray for his blessing and look for his actions. Let us pray. Lord God, you know the circumstances that we face that are just discouraging to us. We're a little stressed out and a little wrung out. And we know that we haven't placed the little we have in your hands because we've been procrastinating and we've been blaming and we've been worrying. And through your Holy Spirit, help us to stop doing that. And start responding in a deep spiritual effort, putting the little that we have in your hands. And then, Lord, as we think about what it would look like for you to respond, help us to get that picture in our mind. Because you are a God who can and a God who will, because you love us. Jesus, we're thankful for this great reminder in your word today. Help us to live it out each and every day. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
There's a lifetime worth of worship in the nuance of your name. So let it rise like incense, my whole life a fragrance, every ounce here broken at your feet. Every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Two great commandments. Today focuses on the first commandment. How do you develop a deeper spiritual effort, better, bigger faith. Just remember to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen.